This is the Australia Report with CEO of the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies, Vic Aladef. Good day, mate.
Vic Aladef, a very good morning. How are you doing?
Good to talk to you.
Nice to speak to you as well. All right. So before we start with some of the stories, how is COVID doing in Australia?
Baruch Hashem, we are doing very well in this country. There hasn't been a case in New South Wales for a long time. I cannot even remember when there was the last case. And in Victoria, where Melbourne is, they had two cases overnight. There was a little bit of a flurry here in New South Wales last week when two people who proved to be tested positive escaped, if I can use that term, from the state of Victoria, which was in a lockdown,
right,
drove through New South Wales all the way to Queensland, which is a northern state, and then were known to have stopped at three or four places, and those places were furious because they were small little towns on route, as it were, and so caused those small towns to go into lockdown, etc. And it was against the rules, against the law,
sure,
as it were,
sure,
because no one was supposed to be leaving. But apart from that little flurry, thank God there's been it's been very much under control. The big issue here has been criticism of the government for not rolling out the vaccines fast enough.
So whereas, yeah, because I guess the question is what happens when you open the borders again.
Well, exactly, and so that's what the discussion is about. When we're going to open our borders, and should we? And there's talk about, because foreign students, mainly Indian students, Chinese students, is a big source of income for this country, or foreign exchange. And obviously that has not been happening for a year and a half now. And so universities are saying, when can we get foreign students back in? And so the discussion about having not just hotels for quarantine, but actual towns or massive camps, as it were, built to accommodate people in quarantine before letting them, you know, loose into wider society. So that's what the major focus of discussion is about rolling out the vaccines faster. Of the 26 million population, approximately the number last night was almost 6 million people have been vaccinated with one vaccine, and about 2 or 3 million with two jabs. So it's not as fast as it should be, and so there's criticism of the government about that.
Right. All right, so let's just talk about some foreign affairs matters in Australia. Australia has condemned the United Nations Human Rights Council for setting up a permanent inquiry into alleged Israeli war crimes and human rights abuses. Take us through the story.
So this continues the sad and sorry farcical saga, which goes by the name of the Human Rights Council at the UN. Australia is not a member of the Human Rights Council, but notwithstanding that, government has still issued a strong condemnation of the fact that the Human Rights Council has now taken a decision to have a permanent inquiry into alleged war crimes and human rights abuses by Israel. And the number from memory was something like 27 of the nations voted in favor, 9 against, and 14 abstentions. The big countries in favor were China and Russia. The countries against, interestingly, UK, Germany, Austria, Bulgaria, and then countries including France, Italy, Japan, Poland abstained. The United States is not a member. And Australia, as I mentioned, is also not a member, but still came out and condemned this bizarre finding. Because, again, there's only one country which is subject to a permanent inquiry, and that, of course, is Israel.
And thankfully, at least Australia stood up against it. Many, many countries, of course, not doing their choosing.
Absolutely.
Rather,
it's great that Australia has stood up, even though it's not a member of the Human Rights Council. It just made very strong and very appropriate condemnation of what is just yet another farcical resolution or finding or whatever one wants to call it coming out of the Human Rights Council.
Is there ever any response from the Human Rights Council around this? I mean, we see the United States doing this. We see Australia from time to time. But does the council ever respond to it or address the fact that their reputation is one of irony?
Well, the short answer is no, because the sad reality is the majority, because the majority of members are so minded. So 27, I think of the 47 members of the Human Rights Council voted in favor of this finding. You know, the fact that perversely there are countries which are members of the Human Rights Council who do carry out egregious human rights abuses, sit there quite happily, you know, pointing fingers and passing judgment on one state and one state only, just doesn't seem to bother anybody. And it's also sad that countries like France, Italy, Japan, Poland abstained. Why did they abstain?
Absolutely.
They shouldn't have abstained. They should have opposed it.
It's called fear. It's called lack of backbone and moral courage. Either way, talking about which, Jewish leaders called on Australian government to ban all Hezbollah, not just its external wing. And yeah, we have seen this. We've seen this attempt to separate the different divisions of Hezbollah in order to legitimize them.
Indeed. And Australia, now, according to one report I saw, is apparently the only country which actually lists the, quote, Hezbollah External Security Organization, close quote, as a terrorist group, as a distinction from its internal organization, which is certainly bizarre. Apparently 22 countries list all of Hezbollah as a terrorist organization. And so in recent days, Jewish leaders here in this country have called on Australia to please ban the entire Hezbollah organization, that there is no distinction to talk about. And we actually see, like during the recent war between Israel and Hamas, and there were at least 3 weekends of consecutive anti-Israel protests in the streets of Sydney with several thousand people, there were Hezbollah flags in those protests, which is pretty alarming in and of itself.
And what makes it worse is if certain parts of the organization are legitimized, well, then you can carry a flag, because all you need to say is that, no, I represent the good side or the reasonable side of Hezbollah.
Exactly.
It's just such a fiction, isn't it?
It's totally a fiction, and it's a fiction, and it's an artificial distinction. And as you say, I represent the good side. That's why I'm holding the Hezbollah flag. I'm really a good guy.
Absolutely, exactly. Absolutely absurd. It's just, how has it settled in Australia with regard to Israel hate protests and that type of thing? Has it now moved? Have people moved on? Has the media moved on? Where are you with that in that regard?
Yes, the short answer, yes, very much so. Pretty much as soon as for the wider world. Obviously, the Jewish community, obviously, and the focus, obviously, has shifted to Bibi and the new government and Naftali Bennett, etc., is now the subject of the focus. And we just had our Limud this weekend, yesterday and Sunday night. And so there was a lot of focus on the new government and the politics around Israel. For the rest of the country, yes, people have moved on. You know, thank God the war has ended. So that has all settled down, yes.
And the approach to the new Israeli government in general? If there's such a thing as one approach in any Jewish community.
good question. I think that the focus is on, obviously it's pretty diverse, but also the fact that for the first time ever, as we know, first time there's an Arab and Muslim party in the government itself. And hopefully the real needs of the country, the economy moving on from COVID, the neighborhood, Iran, those real issues will be the focus, which will hopefully be a glue to hold these eight parties together. So that's been pretty much the focus.
All right. And that is a good news, Vic Adadef. That's where we leave it. Vic is the former CEO of the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies, speaking to us every Tuesday morning, bringing us an update from Australia.